Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church in Pearland, Texas, the most awesome state in the Union, whatever that means. Good to see everybody. I'm glad you're all here. Beautiful day. Got a full house. We have some songs we're going to sing a little bit. We're just going to share. And I believe we are on all the different platforms that we're broadcasting live. So hopefully we won't have that. Hey kids. How are you? Hey, guys. I love when they come in and get the wave.
Yeah. I know. We
want to
see the kids.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants to see me. Look at the kids. Thank you all for being here. We'll share with you some announcements a little bit as we go. Want to get into your Bibles a little bit later, too, and we're going to recap last week. Last week was so good that I didn't finish it, but it's something that I want to make sure we don't just tap it in. I want to hammer it in. So if you got notes from last week, we'll be adding to those today. So just good to have everybody and hope you've had a good week. Everybody's safe. We want to think of Charlie Ernst. He went back to the hospital. His ammonia level was like at 196, something like that. At 200, you go into a coma. Oh, and so they were praying that that ammonia would go down and he would be better. So keep praying for him and Debbie. And we'll talk about more of the prayer requests. But keep Charlie in your prayers. Okay, we'll start off with a couple toe tappers, and then we'll slow it down a little bit. I think we should know this. We're going to be talking about Send a Great Revival, Revive Us Again, then Rock of Ages. Some of you all are going on your phones and pulling up the words and everything. So I think Nancy has handed out a little bit of some words to people. So feel free to share. But I tried to do the verses that everybody knows, or at least majority of us know. So feel free to tap toes.
Standard. Rock of Ages.
you do too. If you didn't get a bulletin, you're welcome to. And it looks, I don't know why we call it bulletins. I don't know where that even came from, but this is called the game card. You know, you always have a scorecard when you go to the ball game. So this is a scorecard. It has all the pages of what's going on and what we're doing. And the first couple pages are people that we're praying for and lifting up. Want to also have you lift up Walter. I guess he's having a heart cath or something of that order going on in him. So we're praying and lifting him up also. And Carol Wells is still recouping from what she went through last week. Want to be praying for Veronica because it's her birthday, getting older. She didn't hardly make it in today. The 49, it just took everything to get her in the building. It was just terrible. Wait till you get 50. Life really gets good then, right?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know, I was really good until I hit 40, and then I thought, hey, okay, I got this taken care of. Then it hit 50, and it's like, oh, man, that's a different world. 60, I don't even know if I'm going to make it or not, but hey. Okay, we have all kinds of Sunday school classes. It's on page 3 here. If you decide that you want to Zoom into the classes, you're welcome to. Philip Hickman and Becky have a class. Philip and Monica Plummer have classes, and then we have the Read Through the Bible program, and that the next time they'll be Zooming on that is usually the first Saturday of each month. And if you want an email about the Read Through the Bible program, you're welcome to do that, but the Zoom for the Read Through the Bible is on at the bottom. So we have our two Sunday school classes and Read Through the Bible. Hopefully, if things shift around, maybe March, April, depends on what the numbers are doing. Our numbers are still high. In Houston, I think we're running 6,000, 7,000 a day, which is really high. It's 10 times higher than it was during the worst time of COVID. But once that starts going down, we may start going back into Sunday school, but we'll let you know how and when that happens. And has Bible Study Fellowship started up? It is. It's going now. Okay. So that's Thursday night, women, Bible Study Fellowship, Thursday night at 6:55. And they're going through the book of Genesis. And there's that on this page. And that is an international ministry that we are a part of. And you can get all the materials. And Monica Plummer would be the one if you need to know more about that. Hey, this looks good. Tuesday, Spirit Day at Gringo's. So when you go to Gringo's and eat, a portion of that money goes to In His Steps School. And that'll be this coming Tuesday at the fabulous Gringo's Tex-Mex. Any other announcements? Appreciate everybody being on line Wednesday night for our church conference, our business meeting. Everything went fine and dandy, so we're looking forward to that. If you go out to the building, you'll see that I believe the stairs should be done. They look good. They're getting ready to cut windows in all the doors, and that'll be probably this coming week. Tuesday, Jack, from what I understand, will be walking through with electrician and the HVAC to make sure everything's hooked up with that and proper. That's still on the agenda of what I've been given. So Tuesday, we'll be walking through to make sure all that's done. Everything else is going good. We're starting to look at the sound equipment. We're starting to look at stages. We're starting to figure out when we're going to bring the chairs in. So we're getting closer day by day. So keep giving and praying, and thank you for your support. And those that are honorary and contrary, God bless you. We just pray for you. May God just give you extra indigestion during lunch today. If you're upset about it now, where have you been the last 3 years? I mean, at this point, we're just like, okay, hey, you know, we're doing what we can, we're doing what we got. But it's getting exciting because I think we can start seeing where we're getting pretty close. So I'm getting excited, but I'm not going to give you any dates because I'm famous for
not
hitting
it.
We should be here about Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You just jinxed everything. We probably will be until next Thanksgiving now. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm hoping the school year will be in there at the beginning of the school year. And if we can get in Easter, that'd be wonderful. But Easter's only less than 60 days away, I think. Things just, how are we going into February tomorrow? I don't understand. how everything goes by so fast, but it sure does. And that's what Veronica's back there going, I don't know how I turned 49. I just don't understand that. I was 30 yesterday. You know? It happens. We're going to have everybody, the deacons come forward and take up the morning offering. Keep giving and not asking you to, if you know me, I'm not pressurizing anything. We're always in need of, when you're in the church building program, it's always going to be a need for funds. So may God bless you and the faithfulness that y'all have done so far, and it's just tremendous, and may God just continue to bless that. And I think we are getting ready to go into, if not, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So that'll be coming up, and we set that goal Wednesday night for $4,000, and that'll go to missions. So thank you for that. When you give today, think about how much God's given us and use it as a part of praise. I hope when you sing, you don't just sing because you have to. It's like, oh, I know the words, I'll sing that. But because you want to, because God is worthy and deserving of praise. Same way with the offering. Same way with Bible study and prayer. He's worthy of that. So let's get into that mode. And give him the glory and praise that we need. And may God bless you as you give. Gwen, you got the memo today for dark gray suit, so I appreciate that. So we'll have you. Gilbert didn't get that memo. That's all right. We'll have you bless the offering if you would, sir.
Thank you. Now, Father, we come before you this morning with thankful hearts. We're thankful this day, our Father, for the privilege and the ability to come here and assemble ourselves and study your word. We're thankful today, our Father, for this Faith Springs Baptist Church family. We are making our way here, our Father, trying to do the best that we can. Go with us now as we go into this part of our service. Take this blessing and take this offering as a blessing that we're about to participate in. These things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, of all.
of all kings. Above all nature and all created things. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms. Lord, we want to come to you right now and acknowledge that it's all about you. It's all what you've done for us. How we have a future to give you. How we have a past, Lord, that may be tough. Maybe in a presence right now, Lord, that we don't want and not happy with. But Lord, you're in charge. Above all, we give you praise and glory. Above all, Lord, I give you my dreams. Thank you for who you are. And how can we say thanks? Draw us closer to you right now. In these few moments, may the bread of life, your living word, be the freshest bread, Lord, we've ever tasted in our spirits today. And we may not assume, Lord, that the words are for a person sitting in front of us or behind us. But, Lord, the words for each of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, okay. Well, that was worth getting out of bed for right there. Your bell's hot?
Yes.
You all right? I put you to sleep or what? Oh, this is what happens when you turn 50, my dear. And had a spicy jalapeno kolache, and my nose has been running ever since. And had nothing to do with me being emotional about the song. Okay, grab your diet soda or whatever, take a drink, and hopefully your voice will come back. Get into your Bibles. Get out your notes, get out your pen and paper or something. We're going to add to what we talked about last week. We still have some extra. Hey, Jane Glory, how are you? Glory, you doing okay, babe? Have they heard anything more about kidney transplant or things? Or are you just still on the list? And okay, well, good to see you all. Jay, you're looking good as ever. I'm surprised you're still putting up with you. Good to see you, folks. We miss you. All right. Y'all ready for God's word? I hope so. I think I hope the illustration last week of using your cell phone as the doorstop or holding up the piano lid got the point across. Because some of us in our own walk are being a doorstop when God's got more in store for what you think you are. And when we talked about going into a new year, we were talking about the first week or two, we talked about values and how it's important to have our values based on the right thing. You believe in the wrong thing, you have the wrong thoughts, the wrong standards, everything else is going to crumble around you. So we spent 2 weeks on that. We're going to spend 2 weeks on living on how God made you to be. And I think it's so important that everybody here and everybody out there, that wherever they're listening to, that we understand we are more than what you think you are. You are more than what you think you are, and you have more potential than what you think you ever could do. And we even did a little exercise last week about focusing, where our focus goes, where our focus is on. That's where the energy goes. That's where you go. Think about it. If you can have the best job in the world, and all of a sudden something come into play, and you start becoming negative about it. Anybody else get this way? And you start looking at everything negative about it. And you start focusing on that. And before long, everything about that job is terrible. You do this with your own spouses sometimes, with your own friends. They'll do one thing, and then all of a sudden, you say you forgive and forget. You say that you want to reconciliation or whatever it is, but all you end up doing is focusing on the negative things. So now you can't walk across the living room without them saying, why are you walking like that? I've been walking like this for years. What happened? You're focusing on the negative. You ever done this? You look just, you're getting ready for a very important date or interview, or you just want to impress somebody. And you get all decked out. Your hair looks good. And ladies, you got the spackling on, you know, just right. And you painted the barn two or three times. So you got the barn looking good. And I know Jack just shaking his head, like, where do you go with that? Well, if the barn needs painted, paint it. That's the way I look at it. You know, that's my opinion. Amen. Ladies, if it needs painted, paint it. That's fine. But then all of a sudden, on the way out, you younger folks may get this, but us older folks deal with this too. On the way out, you look at the mirror to make sure everything's up and running and where it's supposed to be, and all of a sudden you see a pimple right on the tip of your nose or right on your chin or right on your cheek, and all of a sudden everything that you just spent hours on focuses on that, and you just know that everybody in the room, when you walk in, goes zoom focus to the pimple. Been there, done that? You know what I'm talking about? You always focus on that. And where the focus is, your energy goes. So I want to encourage you that if you're focusing on the pimples in your life, you're going to miss a lot of beauty of what you have going in life. And you need to shift your focus, and your energy will go that way too. You're just mad, irritable, and you just can't get satisfied anymore, and your blood pressure just all the time, you're probably focusing on the wrong stuff. And we talked about that. We gave you three tests last week. Are you focusing on what you have or what you want? Are you focusing on your past or your present and future? Are you focusing on what you can control or what you can't? And I guarantee you, if you're focusing on what's missing, what you don't have, what you can't control, and on your past, congratulations, you're going to be depressed and a miserable person. When God says, I have a tomorrow for you that is absolutely fantastic. I've read the end of the story, folks. We don't have to wear a mask in heaven. It's not there. There's not one disease, not one germ there. I read the end of the story. We win. No matter what political party you think won or lost, we win because we're on Jesus' side. He died for us, and that's something we need to shift our energy to. And the first thing we talked about last week was how we need to reject certain lies that just weigh us down. I mean, we literally just put them on, and it's like garbage bags. And I'm preaching this. You think I'm preaching this to you? And I don't know how many emails and texts and phone calls I got from people saying that was for me. Wrong. It was for me. I always preach to me. You just get to listen. This is stuff that I need to hear. And you just get to listen. Hopefully you can take and apply a few things. But we need to reject the lies that hinder you. John 10:10 was the scripture that we're focusing this whole sermon on. And John 10:10 goes, when you get there, I want to hear some pages turning or your phone beeping or whatever you're doing. John 10:10. When I signed my first book, I'd always sign my name, and I always put underneath my name in the first book and the cover of it, John 10:10. I want everybody to look up this verse because this is what it's all about. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Do you feel like just everything's against you? Do you feel like everything in this world is absolutely working against you? Congratulations. You're right. It is. And I want to encourage you that if you're finding your life and your traffic in life going with the flow and it's going pretty darn good and you're not handling or dealing with much adversity, if you're not handling much things that are strife and causing you trauma and things that just kind of messing up your basket card, you're going, hey, life's flowing pretty good. I want to encourage you to look at what direction you're going, because you could be possibly going in the same direction that Satan is. That's why you're not confronting everything. Every time that I get ready to experience something and it starts getting a force against it, it's not a thing to say, oh, God, this must not be your will. It's, oh my, this must be your will, because Satan's trying to keep it from happening. Because Satan wants to come in and steal. He wants to take away. He wants to demolish everything that we think in our life is supposed to be good. Folks, if it's easy and there's no adversity, it's probably not God's will. Satan is going, let him do it. I can handle this. It's not going to affect me. This is going to give one more person to the kingdom of God. So let them be exactly what they want to be. That's why I want to encourage you that every time you go out and you drive past this building and you see negativity in that building, I want you to see we have the potential of what God has in store for us in a future. And the devil has pulled out everything that he can to keep us from that building, because he knows once that baby's open, there's nothing stopping what the Spirit of God's going to do. And we're going to have the space to be able to do it. Now, are you going with the flow with that and you're saying, yeah, you're right, Greg, or you're the one going around, let me pick out all the details of what's wrong. Don't be a tool of the devil. I look at those things and say, I tell you what, it's better than tape on the carpet. It's better than cracked porches. It's better than other stuff that we dealt with. It's better than living in a building that we had no control in that was full of asbestos. And every time it rained, I had to watch where I walked in the sermons because the altar was full of puddles. Beautiful 3,000 seat sanctuary, but it was falling apart. Remember when the air conditioning would go bad and we had to bring in the big fans just to be able to get air? I praise God where we're at. I praise God of what we have for the future. So when you think things aren't right, think maybe it's the devil keeping us from or trying to get you to focus on the wrong thing. He's trying to steal something. He's trying to take your joy away. He's trying to take your potential away. That's why Jesus himself called Satan a liar and a father of lies. He's a liar. Three lies, and we talked about this, that he says about you. And we believe. The first lie we talked about last week was, I can't. No, I'm not. I'm not. We use Moses as the example. Moses wasn't perfect. He said, God, I'm not perfect. I never will forget what Mr. Perkins said one day. When I was having a discussion of whether I was too damaged of goods to be the pastor anymore. And it was more imperfect than so far from perfect. It's scary. And folks, I'm so imperfect. And Mr. Perkins, with his great wisdom, didn't have much to say, but when he talked, you better write it down. He said, Greg, we didn't hire you because you were perfect. We hired you because we knew your heart. That's what life's all about. Who wants perfection when we have a Savior that is our perfection? He does that for us. So this, I'm not, you're right, he is. So shift the I'm not to I am and allow and lean on that. The second lie is I can't. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He was created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us a long time ago. I have so many people that tell me, I just can't do that. I can't serve there. I can't teach Sunday school. I'm not willing. I'm not capable of doing that. You're right. But God, through you, you can do anything. All things are possible through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. So this is what you need to do. Tell me what your capabilities are, what you can do, and where your limitations are. Okay? So take it there. And maybe stretch, push your envelope a little bit. Stretch the balloon out a little bit. Just go ahead and write it down and say, I think I can do this. I think I can do, I can handle this. But if I'm really, really strong one day, I'll be able to do that in life. I'll be able to achieve that dream. And then apply this verse to those things on your list and see if it doesn't blow it out of the water. Now, all glory to God, Ephesians 3:20, who is able through his mighty power, has nothing to do with yours, has nothing to do with mine, has to do with his, through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish everything on your list and infinitely more than we may ever think or ask. Don't think you can get through college? He says you can get through college twice. Infinitely more. You think you're ever going to find a husband, a wife? You don't think your kids are ever going to get out of the situations they're in? And you pray, and then you're kind of like, just not going to happen. I just don't see how it's going to. God says in that verse, I'm going to accomplish more than you can ever imagine if you let me work through you. So, look at your last week and do an audit on yourself. Who has worked through you more? The negativity? Congratulations, we're going to be talking about naysayers next week because you're going to have to learn how to deal with them. The power of, I just don't think we're ever going to make it. I don't see how we're ever going to do this. Or are you have a couple verses like I shared, that you are a masterpiece, and God, through you, can do anything more than you ever dreamed, you can imagine. You will prosper. You will do so much more. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that says, if you believe in positive things, it all happens. I'm one of those preachers that if you believe in positive things and nothing negative happens, you're probably not thinking what you ought to be thinking anyway. Because just because you think it doesn't make it happen. But when you let Christ work through you, you can do more than what you ever dreamed you could. Always strive for that. And then that third lie and is the lie of what if. What if I fail? There's nothing that I've done in my life that I've ever accomplished without failing. I'm trying to think of one thing that I hit right on target the first time. I fail so often, but I way prefer to be in the boat. And Jesus says, come on out, walk on the water, Greg, come on. And me sink and die heading towards him. Then stay in the boat and never make a step of faith out. And put on my little urn, not tombstone, but an urn, because I'm not, don't put me in the ground. Last time we saw him, he was heading toward Jesus. Wouldn't you way prefer that than saying I have the fear that I'll never be able to make it? Fear keeps us from following Jesus into the life that he has in store for us. God knows that fear is a big deal. In March, I have a workshop that I'm doing with someplace in Connecticut. And the whole 2 hours is on fear. How do you deal with fear? Because we all have it. And let me tell you what the world is trying to do to you. Did you ever dream that somebody on TV, no matter what office they were in, can tell you, you no longer can go to church. You no longer can leave your house without a mask. You no longer, and this more and on. And did you ever dream? But you see how they did it? Fear. Fear. Give you a test. How many people died in 2020? In the United States. Almost exactly the same amount that died in 2019. Almost the exact same amount that died in 2018. Almost the exact same amount that died in 2017. But all of a sudden, this is going to kill us all. And it's the fear. And we do. Oh, boy, I'll be halfway between the car and Bucky's. And oh, I don't have a mask. Oh, my lands. And you're apologizing to everybody on the street. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I forgot my mask. In the elevator the other day, I was going down to get a little biscuit, you know, breakfast. 6:30, you got to go get somebody else. Get in the elevator, go down. You already hit push the button down. Oh, no. Oh, no. My mask is on the desk. So what do? You do this.
You're like this. You're going, oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize, folks. I'm so sorry. You got your back to the elevator corner. And I just don't know.
And everybody walks in thinking you are the devil incarnate because how dare you? They put the fear in us. Now, I'm up for regulation. I'm up for some kind of stuff to make good sense. It's good wisdom. I'm not saying don't do it, but you see how they work fear? The devil does the very same thing to you in your own mind, with your own vision, in your own dreams, in your own goals. He sits there and tells you, you can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. You're going to fail. Everybody's going to laugh at you. Everybody's going to look at you and point. It's fear. It's fear. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Fear is the result of not living out those truths. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own smarts. Who really thinks they're smarter than God? Be honest. You do. That's why you did things that you thought you could get away with. That's why you did things you thought, oh, nobody ever find out about. That's why you did things that you really thought that even though God's word doesn't makes it clear that you shouldn't do it, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm just a little bit smarter. It's all about a pride issue. That's why Adam and Eve had it from the beginning of time. Yeah, he told us that, but I think I'm a little smarter. Yeah, they were tempted. You are too. Go ahead, do it. You'll be all right. You need to have fallen in the same trap. Trust in the Lord. Don't depend on what you think. Seek his will in everything you do, and he will show you which path to take. Success is about learning to trust God rather than ourselves and follow his path. You know, the kicker is when I was 35, I had my path already plotted out all the way to retirement. And I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to die in my office chair. They'll roll me to the crematory. But I had already plotted out. And then somehow, God messed it all up. It wasn't his plan. What do you have in store? What do you have for you? God promised us two things to alleviate our fear. He says, I am with you, and I will lead you. Next time fear rises up within you, you know how to get over it? Four words. Write these down. Next time fear rises up inside of you, huddle up. These are the four words. You're afraid. Don't know if you're going to make it. Don't know how in the world you're going to get there. Don't know what's happening. Four words. Lord, I trust you. That's it. And you go, that's it? That's it. Fear will flee because you're giving it to him. Is your life shambles right now? Your finances, you don't know what's going to happen. You're sitting at your mailbox every day waiting for the government to send you one more stimulus check so you can make it. It ain't coming for a while, folks. Nobody's coming to bail you out. It's something you have to deal with God. And have the stamina and the backbone and the belief of, Lord, I trust you. That was point number one. Point two is you need to pursue God to be everything that he made you to be. What's God designed you for? You're the iPhone that has become a paperweight. It has all the power, but I'm just going to hold my papers down with it and never use all the stuff that it has. One day you're going to be in front of your maker and he's going to do the old roll call. I don't think it's going to be St. Peter. I think you're going to hear God, Gregory, Alan, Williams. I don't know about you, but when my mom said that, fear, my belly button would pucker. What? Oh no, here it comes. When I heard my middle name, I knew I was in trouble. God calls me up. And he's going to say, this is what you've done with all the tools that I gave you, all the personality traits, all the wiring that I put inside of you, all the things that you thought life did to you. I did it for you. It's not what life does to you, folks. It's what life does for us. So I look at all my years of junk that I've went through. Life didn't do that to me. It did it for me. So now I can use it for the rest of my life to help others. What has life done for you that you're blaming God for? And he says, all you have to do is give it to me and I'll turn it into something that is going to change people's lives. And as I'm looking at eyeballs and sets of eyeballs all the way around, you have a set of wiring that's been wired just particularly for you. So God can use you the way you are to help somebody that I'll never be able to reach because of your life experiences, because of the way one kid went astray. And how you dealt with that. The way how one relationship went bad. Or how one financial business just went absolutely under and you went bankrupt. And you're sitting in a corner going, I hope nobody finds out. I hope nobody knows. I hope nobody read the paper. When God says, why don't you stand up and go, well, I went through a challenge. But I'm not down and out. Now I'm here to help people. How I should have done it different. And how I can help you. Get through it if you're going through it too. To provide hope for people that are looking for hope. And that's what it's all about. Discover your design. A couple scriptures that I'm done because they're going to count me down here. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. Write this under. Pursue who God made you to be. Discover your design. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. And Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. That's a whole different sermon there, but I won't go there because I get on a soapbox. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Next time your wife's get on your nerves, husbands, just say, honey, I praise that the Lord made you so complex. And just see how well that goes. You'll be sleeping on the couch. I didn't say it, God's word said it. So wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. What are you designed to be? What's God got you created for? Find it. Find it. And if you're part of this body of Christ, we're going to put you to use. We need you. We need you. And then the last thing, and I'm done. When you find and discover your design, engage it with God. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you. I know what you're saying. Well, I was late that day that he was handing out gifts. And you go, oh, not me. Oh, not me. Not me. Oh, well, boy, he gave you more than enough. You can take care of that. No, not me. Read the verse again. Write it down. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you, underline each of you, or right above it, your name. God has given you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Has he done a countdown yet? Good. Last one. Don't only engage your design, funnel it. Funnel it. A lot of you are this big old funnel. And you just, everything that pours into you, you just want to do everything. You want to be part of everything. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. But you're not good at half the stuff. You need to funnel it. You need to get all that stuff and say, God, this is what you've given me. How do I narrow this down and become more a design to what you want me to be? Instead of be a huge light that's just scattered and doesn't bring much light, how do I bring that down to where it's a laser where I can take that light and burn through metal? Engage your design. And the last scripture, I promise, I won't lie to you no more. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. When do you get to stop? When you turn 49? When you turn 90, how old are you, Vivian? Okay, 90 what?
Eight.
God's not done with you. You're still going to be at that Sunday school desk in the new building counting people in, you and Kim. We go back to those Jubilee class days. You still have a design. Because he says right there, God has given each, no, let's see where it was. I want to do this because I think this is important. It was the last verse I just gave you. God who began the work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. He ain't back yet. Engage it. Funnel it down. Narrow it down. But first of all, you got to discover it. The Lord, I just want to come to you and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you how it speaks. Lord, I just ask that you can reveal to us how the devil has messed with our gourds, our spirits, our negativity, our thoughts. And Lord, we just don't want to get it. We want to share with everybody else. So everybody else is miserable as us. Lord, that's the devil sneaking in and stealing and destroying. Show us what you have in store for us. I don't think that's any of our spiritual gift. I don't think negative thinking is on that list of spiritual fruit. Lord, show us how to discover what we're made for. Not be caught up in fear. And Lord, most of all, remember those four words. Lord, I trust you. Thank you for the day. Let us be a light as we go out to the dark world and show people love. Let's not get caught up in all the negative talk around the water cooler at work. Not all the junk that's happening in politics. Let's show them you. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. I appreciate it. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Have an awesome day. And we will see you next week right here at 10 o'clock on Faith Springs Live. God bless you.